Studio 360.
I was in jail for a little while.
You were what?
I served a little time, I guess, down in Florida. It was for bullshit.
What?
It was for bullshit.
What did you do?
I didn't do anything. Does it occur to you that maybe I was wrong?
No!
That's a scene from You Can Count on Me from 2000, a terrific film that turbocharged the careers of its stars, Laura Linney and Mark Ruffalo, and of its writer and director, Kenneth Lonergan. After that film, Lonergan wrote and directed the excellent but less well-known film Margaret, and last year he won the Oscar for Best Original Screenplay for Manchester by the Sea, which he also directed. But before Kenneth Lonergan wrote achingly realistic dramas like that for the screen, he was writing them for the stage. Two of his plays from the 1990s and early aughts, This Is Our Youth and Lobby Hero, have been recently revived with big star-studded productions. And now, another of his plays from the turn of the century, called The Waverly Gallery, is on Broadway. It is about a gallery owner named Gladys Green, who is played by the astonishing Elaine May. The play focuses on her descent into Alzheimer's, and especially how that affects her relationship with her grandson and housemate, played by Lucas Hedges. And it turns out that that grandson character and Kenneth Lonergan himself have almost everything in common.
The whole play is based very closely on my family and my experience with my grandmother when I was in my 20s and how everybody dealt with her later years.
Including just even the detail, which you could have changed, making yourself an EPA speechwriter, which you were, to my surprise.
Yeah, that's what I was doing at the time. And then my grandmother's gallery was called the Waverly Gallery, and it was on the corner of Waverly and McDougal. And quite a lot of the play is drawn from real life.
No, I remember when I lived in the East Village back in those days, walking past your grandmother's gallery, I now know.
Yeah, I've heard that from quite a few people, actually, over the years.
So the play, Waverly Gallery, first was produced off-Broadway, 2000. Mm-hmm. And in that production, Eileen Heckert, the late great actress, played the main character. How was her Gladys, I guess the original Gladys, different from how Elaine May does it in this show?
Pretty profoundly different. Eileen was a real roughneck in a way. She had a kind of gravelly voice, and she was very tough, had a tough vibe to her. But she just came at it from a completely different angle. Elaine, who is also pretty tough, there's a sort of a sweetness to the way she does the character and a gentleness that surprised me and I really, which I love.
Right. She plays it charming and upbeat. And by the way, Elaine May is just amazing.
It's incredible to watch her work. She's a very, very methodical, brilliant actress. And this is a character who is both hard of hearing and increasingly demented. So the way she navigates and navigated in rehearsal through the logic of what was happening in the scene, she needs to know if the person talking to her is within reach, if they're turning away from her, why does she keep talking? If she can't hear them, why does she say what she says? And not in any kind of mystical, actory way, but really concrete, in order to put herself really in the situation and inside the character's head. If there are a way to amplify the word pedestrian into some form of genius, I would apply it to her.
One so immediately buys her as this character. It's a practically magical thing.
Yes. You know, the goal is to believe that what you're doing on stage is real, mm-hmm. even though the situations, the circumstances are totally artificial. You're sent, you know what you're going to say, you know what your scene partner is mm-hmm. going to say. There are 800 people watching you.
Right.
They laugh in the middle. They go, ooh, when something happens. You're in a fake set, in a fake room, pretending to be real. So it's quite a lot of work to have a real interaction. And there is a process, and it's fun to watch someone, a real master, explore it.
A real master, because, of course, Elaine May was half of Nichols and May 50 and 60 years ago. Great comic team. And speaking of which, most people don't know, I don't think, that before You Can Count on Me, you were basically a comedy writer. Your first real show business job was co-writing an episode of Doug on Nickelodeon. And you wrote the movies Analyze This and its sequel and The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle. Why'd you decide to get out of comedy early?
I was never in it exclusively. I like to write a lot of things. You know, I always like to say there are very few no-joke zones in life. There are certainly some, but daily life can be very funny, even if it's horrible. And it always strikes me somewhat false if a representation of life has no humor in it. Not always. There's some people who are able to do dramatic work with no humor in it and works very well. But, you know, if you take a look, most of your favorite dramatic writers also have very good senses of humor.
So the Waverly Gallery isn't your only recent Broadway revival.
It's the decade of Kenneth Lonergan revivals. The last few years, the theater industrial complex has decided to revive this one from 15 or 20 years ago, as well as This Is Our Youth. Great play, well-produced, Lobby Hero last year. Why did they suddenly decide, hey, this guy's worth doing?
Who knows? I mean, I think it helps a bit that I do movies and that the last movie I had a pretty big public profile for me anyway.
Won two Oscars,
not to be modest. One of them was not for me, it was for Casey Affleck, so I take no credit for that, you know, that gives you more profile. Work tends to create work.
You just became an absolute name brand.
Yeah, I became a name brand. Here I am.
And here is a clip from Manchester by the Sea. We happen to have handy. Casey Affleck and his nephew, played by Lucas Hedges, are walking down the street, talking and arguing, and then encountering another pedestrian.
You're 16 years old.
I get my license this year.
Doesn't matter. You're still a minor. You can't run a commercial vessel by yourself. Meanwhile, it's a big fucking expense, and I'm the one that's going to manage it, and I'm not going to be here.
Who gives a fuck where you are?
Patty, I swear to God, I'm going to knock your fucking block off.
Great parenting.
What? What'd you say?
I said great parenting.
Fuck you. Mind your fucking business.
Hey, you
fucking asshole.
Smash me in the face.
Smash me in the face. Hey,
it's
okay.
It's okay.
It's okay. Don't even smash your fucking face, you fucking asshole.
It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Thank you. Thank you. It's okay. Uncle Lee, are you fundamentally unsound?
That was in Manchester by the Sea, Casey Affleck and Lucas Hedges, and playing this random nosy jerk.
Excuse me. If you saw somebody telling his nephew he was going to knock his block off in the street, I think it would take some nerve to step in.
It would. I wouldn't do it. And that was played by you.
Yes.
You do that Hitchcock thing. You put yourself in all your movies.
Well, he was more modest. He put himself in movies in strict cameos. He never said a word, and he was just an extra who you noticed. Most ingeniously in a Lifeboat, where he couldn't appear, he appeared in an advertisement in a newspaper, famously. No, but that's actually my smallest role in my three films that I've directed. I had real parts in the other two.
Yeah, but I can see why you would have cast yourself. I mean, I'm seriously like,
sure, it's fun.
Yeah.
If it's a part that I can do, it's fun for me to do, and I'm the only one who wants to cast me, so.
And your writing and filmmaking is highly, brilliantly, delightfully realistic. Was that an aesthetic choice starting out, or just how you did what you did?
It was an aesthetic choice. It was also, you know, even though I like to write broader stuff and have written more comedic stuff, I certainly gravitate towards what I like to call ultra naturalism, which, because I really feel like it gets short shrift in a lot of films and theater. Talking to a doctor about anything serious is quite dramatic in a very unpleasant way. Having your accountant or your wife or husband tell you you're running out of money is a very stressful conversation. Watching your kid go into the playground for the first time can be quite stressful. So I think there's just a lot of drama in real life that gets skipped over a lot in some films and theater and television. And in any case, whether it's skipped over or not, that's where I often like to go to find the stories that I like to write about.
As you're writing dialogue, do you have rules?
One rule that I have is, if it sounds too colorful and interesting, it's probably not too good. I don't like to write dialogue that sounds good for its own sake, or have people speak in ways that they wouldn't otherwise speak. I try to be guided by the way people really talk, and I'm very interested in the way people speak. And I try very hard to have each character have his own way of speaking. That's not so easy to do, since I'm only one person, but I try. And I need to have a really vivid idea of who the person is before I can write anything, really. And if I don't have a very vivid idea of who the person is, I don't know how they speak, and I have trouble imagining them doing anything. So I'll have to fish around for a better idea of who the character is.
Well, and in theater especially, there are many serious and acclaimed writers who do work that is more self-conscious, stylized, postmodern, meta. Do you enjoy some of that work?
Absolutely. I like all kinds of theater, all kinds of films. There's a distinction between what you like to watch and what you can do. I love good action movies. I don't think I could write one. I like spy thrillers. I don't think I could write one. You know, there's just a lot I like that I can't do, or that I wouldn't do as well as somebody else.
There is a lot of overlapping dialogue in your work, like in that Manchester by the Sea clip we heard, also in the Waverly Gallery.
I just like overlapping dialogue. It's a lot of fun to write. I love the way it sounds. Sometimes I feel like it can get to the point where it doesn't really mimic real life enough. People tend to, when people are trying to talk at the same time, someone usually gains the floor and everyone else shuts up for a few minutes. But not always, especially families, I noticed, tend to keep talking over each other even though no one's listening. Mine certainly does. And someone like Paddy Chayefsky, extremely naturalistic writer, a lot of his television writing is so naturalistic.
Marty
and all of his television plays, and the wonderful play he wrote called Middle of the Night.
I wanted him to move in with us.
Listen, I was perfectly willing.
Oh, she resents me a great deal. You know, every time my father and I sit down for one of our little talks, she always finds some way of breaking in. She resents any woman my father likes.
Oh, Mill, she's a lonely
So my father's woman. Going out with a woman, so what's so terrible about that?
And as far as overlapping dialogue goes, you know, there are great masters of that in the old days, in the black and white studio days. Howard Hawks particularly had a whole technique for writing overlapping dialogue where the beginnings and ends of sentences would overlap, but the important information was in the middle. And that's just great. Like, His Girl Friday does that a lot.
Oh, I wish you'd stop panning.
Well, when you came here 5 years ago, a little college girl from a school of journalism, I'd take a doll-faced hick.
Well, you wouldn't take me if I hadn't been doll-faced.
Oh, why should I? I thought it'd be a novelty to have a face around here a man could look at without shuddering.
Listen, Walter.
Listen, I made a great reporter out of you, Hildy, but you won't be half as good on any other paper, and you know it. We're a team. That's what we are. You need me, and I need you, and the paper needs both of us.
Bold American.
Does it beautifully, Rosalind Russell and Cary Grant. So it's not, I'm not the, not the first one to try it. And all dialogue is a bit stylized, even if it feels very natural. And you tend to notice the stylization a few years on.
Kenneth Lonergan, this has been a great pleasure and a privilege. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's been really fun.
Kenneth Lonergan's play, The Waverly Gallery, starring Elaine May, Lucas Hedges, and Joan Allen, is on Broadway now.